winners in the presidential cycle. So, a big boost in dark money spending between the years 2006 and 2012. And that's just in a span of 6 years. Let's fast forward 8 years from that date to the year 2020. You won't believe the dark money spent in the 2020 presidential elections. It was more than $1 billion. And here's a breakdown. The FEC spending came out to be about $88 million. Then came digital ad spending, $132 million for that. And then TV ad spending, that was $170 million. And $660 million came in contributions from political groups. Why is that important? Don't you think that there are favors that need to be done for those donations? You bet there are, and many include billionaires and corporations for the most part. Now, many Americans view this as undemocratic.
The danger to democracy of foreign money in U.S. elections is that it's really a fundamental attack on American democracy. And the more of this information that's sort of hidden behind closed doors, the less accountability we're going to have in U.S. politics, and the greater the opportunities become for foreign money and foreign influence to sneak in and affect U.S. elections.
All right, even the former U.S. president openly admits not only is this true, well, his party is actually guilty of it. Check this out.
Essentially, would say anything goes. There are no rules in terms of how to finance campaigns. There aren't a lot of functioning democracies around the world that work this way, where you can basically have millionaires and billionaires bankrolling whoever they want, however they want, in some cases undisclosed. And what it means is ordinary Americans are shut out of the process. And Democrats aren't entirely innocent of this in the past. And, you know, I had to raise a lot of money for my campaign.
All right, you heard him there. Even the former U.S. president's openly admitting not only is this true, his party is guilty of it in terms of what kind of donations are taking place. Well, take a look at this in terms of the Democrats and how much dark money was dominating the 2020 elections. In terms of the foreign money, may have very well decided the 2020 elections in favor of the current U.S. President Joe Biden. I mean, you don't need to see what the story is by just looking at here, the Republicans coming in way short in terms of the money that was donated there, roughly about $300 million as opposed to what the Democrats received, which, as you can see, was over $500 million. Well, let me bring in William Still. He is an economist and also author of The Money Masters, in which he believes in debt-free U.S. notes and ending fractional reserve banking. He also believes that the Federal Reserve should actually end. Okay, Bill, money in U.S. politics is that's nothing new, as you're well aware. This affects and impacts government decision-making. First, let's take a look at foreign governments, companies, and other entities which pay foreign agents to influence U.S. policy and opinion in pursuit of their own interests. Of course, that includes think tanks. You then have lobbyists within the U.S. who are courting lawmakers and presidential candidates in the U.S. elections. Can you please explain the differences and how it works?
This is one of the most corrosive, corrupt influences in the U.S. political system. It's a very good question that you ask, and I'm afraid I can't explain it logically or ethically, because within the past 12 to 18 months, the U.S. System of equal justice under the law has just totally collapsed, and we're now in this horrible morass of a combination of corrupt politics combined with a corrupt worldwide medical system. For the first time, the medical world has been corrupted totally by Big Pharma, to where they're no longer serving the public interest. They're no longer serving the Hippocratic oath of do no harm. They're now serving the financial interests of corporate Big Pharma to their everlasting discredit. And it's going to take medicine worldwide, not just in the United States, decades, if not generations, to recover from this.
Dark money is everywhere in U.S. politics. It shapes the American's psyche on who to elect, from governors to presidents. This includes money in ads and mail.
Under Obama's plan, you wouldn't have to work and wouldn't have to train for a job. They just send you your welfare check.
What we're seeing now is someone like Adelson promising to spend $100 million on campaigns. You know, us average Americans, no matter how many of us you put together, we could never amass $100 million. And that's just one person we're trying to fight against. I mean, I'm rooting for the internet and technology to try helping Americans have a voice, but right now we are getting completely, totally drowned out.
A lot of reasons not to elect me.
It's really hard to get away from ads. Sometimes the same candidate will have ads, multiple ads during like the same commercial break, so, you know, it gets a little... I'm not sure how helpful it is.
Where did all the Obama stimulus money go? Friends, donors, campaign supporters, special interest groups.
It gets to the point where that's pretty much all I see sometimes. And it's also a little funny because I'll see one and then immediately afterwards I'll see another one that contradicts it.
They send out all these mailings. They don't care if they lie.
Nobody knows who they are.
They call them dark money groups, and that's exactly what they are.
Corporation funnels money to a dark money group. They send out postcards attacking the opponent. When that candidate gets elected, they support the agenda of the corporation.
I don't know how to fight them. I can't pick up the phone and say, hey, what's your interest in candidate X? Because I don't know who they are.
You wouldn't think foreign government money is behind it, but they are. Even U.S. think tanks are flooded with foreign money.
When people say there's too much money in politics, I say, well, how much is too much? Who gets to define that? And if elected officials and incumbents get to decide how much is too much, then they're limiting the citizen's ability to engage in the political process.
Even after the elections, we're still not going to be sure what the final numbers are because there's so much lack of disclosure going on.
Out of 237 think tanks, 70% did not disclose their donors. Some of these think tanks are influential in shaping U.S. foreign policy. But governments abroad shaping U.S. foreign policy in broad daylight? That is the case. Countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE have been influencing Washington through lobbyists, think tanks, journalists, and academia. Not only is legislation prepared by their lobbyists all the time, lobbyists actually script what various members of Congress say. In one case, Rep. Ed Royce spoke on the House floor against ending U.S. support for the war in Yemen. His talking points were written by lobbyists for Saudi Arabia. That means a lobbyist was retained and paid for by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, according to federal disclosure forms, in order to undermine congressional opposition to the Yemen war.
You know, I had to raise a lot of money for my campaign. There's nobody who operates in politics that has perfectly clean hands on this issue. But what is also true is that all of us should bind ourselves to some rules that say the people who vote for us should be more important than somebody who's spending $1 million, $10 million, or $100 million to help us get elected. Because we don't know what their agendas are. We don't know what their interests are. And I continue to believe that Citizens United contributed to some of the problems we're having in Washington right now.
Okay, let's bring in our guest for this segment of the program. His name is Bob Barker. He's a U.S. economist. He also works at the Schiller Institute as an agricultural liaison. Bob, welcome. Let's take a look at countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE. They have been influencing Washington through lobbyists, think tanks, journalists, academia, and the likes. If U.S. authorities are aware of this, why do they allow this to happen again and again?
You look in the various countries like Saudi Arabia and these big oil-based economies, and you see the influence that they have. You've got to be thinking about who's pulling the strings behind the scenes because this is the influence of these old networks going back to London, and how they have got their ability to manipulate and influence things globally. So you manipulate the energy, the oil, or as I was saying before, you take the Green New Deal. And now that's a major shift because of the financial breakdown. These old empire-oriented companies are trying to restructure their control through financing of green infrastructure, like windmills, and then also the carbon footprint, where they want to buy and sell carbon. And that is like the camouflage, because that mechanism is a mechanism to take over all farmland and control the food production beyond belief.
Wow, fascinating stuff there from Bob. Well, what many don't realize is how the Green New Deal, as he mentioned, is actually going to become mainstream sooner than anyone can imagine. And along with that, an industrial revolution of sorts to follow. And of course, the lobbyists will be there. It's time to take a quick break here on Economic Divide, but do stay with us. We have plenty more coming up after a short break. Welcome back. This is our InfoNews section. First item that we are going to take a look at is regarding post-Brexit clashes. Yes, this has occurred already, and it's between France and the UK. Now, this particular piece of news said French fishermen protested over rules on fishing rights in an area called Jersey. They're angry that they must now provide proof that they have historically fished in those waters since Britain left the European Union. French boats, in one instance, rammed the UK boat. Now, that is what's called gunboat diplomacy. Okay, moving on to our next item, the U.S. employment. Well, it's facing a bit of a conundrum, which is really unexplainable. You see, on the one hand, it is reported that there is a shortage of workers in that country in a wide array of industries, from restaurants to factories. Now, at the same time, job numbers were out this past week. And shockingly, the U.S. economy only added 266,000 jobs for the month of April. That's far less than the 1 million jobs that was forecasted to be added. So much for a U.S. economic recovery. On to cryptocurrency. Big warning came from the European Central Bank, or the Bank of England, I should say, where it said that investors should be prepared to lose all their money. It said digital currencies actually have no intrinsic value. That doesn't mean to say that people don't put value on them, according to them, because they have extrinsic value. But that's a warning that crypto investors should actually heed. Something tells me, however, that they're not going to do that. And finally, our look at the final topic that we chose concerns food and hunger. Global hunger crisis to have hit five-year high in 2020 as 155 million people faced severe food insecurity. This was a warning that came from the UN, and this is on top of a report that stated rising global food prices or food inflation could lead to social unrest.
This episode of my Time to Wake Up series what we see is an operation that has brought big anonymous special interests to the table where justices are selected by virtue of their writing big checks. And the vehicle for this has been the Federalist Society, which has a fine role on college campuses as a conservative discussion and student group, which has a relatively fine role in Washington as a think tank. As fine as think tanks are. But it also has this additional role of taking money from big special interests, not disclosing who they are, and giving them a seat at the table when the Federalist Society is selecting justices. And that is wrong.
Is there something about the way that money's been spent under Citizens United that that contributes to the thick fog of propaganda that overhangs our politics today?
Well, I think anything that undermines disclosure makes it harder for us to find out who's behind what we're seeing online. I mean, people get all sorts of information online, and I don't think anybody wants to get their news from a Russian troll farm, but people didn't realize that's where they were getting the information from last time. So to the extent that Citizens United has undermined disclosure, I think it has also contributed.
Okay, let's talk to William Still for this section of our Q&A. Bill, the notion of dark money from foreign countries is our focus in this question. How do you see it when countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, or the UAE are influencing Washington through lobbyists, think tanks, journalists, and academia? I mean, how did it get to this point for the U.S.?
You know, you mentioned Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE, which shows what, you know, political standpoint you're coming from, and I understand that. But this is not just Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE. That once Hillary Clinton became the head of the United States State Department, for the first time, it was just thrown. The gates of corruption were thrown open wide, and we still have not recovered. It would even Trump tried to do his best to take some of that out of the U.S. system, but as you may be aware, the entire deep state system of corruption was totally against Trump, and he was like one man trying to fight back against all of this, and yet he was surrounded by deep state spies and globalist spies, even in the White House, even in his administration. And I don't know how the United States is going to recover, but I know we're going to eventually recover. There's going to be a political backlash, the likes of which this country has never seen before. The Democrats will undoubtedly lose control of the United States Congress in the by-election about 18 months from today, actually. And then we'll be back to trying to fix the country. And, of course, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can't possibly be reelected. It'll be either Trump or his designated presidential candidate, which would be DeSantis, probably. But Trump will run again, and he will be reelected.
Maybe the information provided in this program is nothing new to some, but when the democracy of a nation is to some degree written, planned, and executed at times from abroad, or through billionaires and corporations with their own agenda, it does need to be highlighted. This is especially required since it has been going on for decades in the U.S. Well, some may say, so what? It's a U.S. problem. Leave it to the country itself or to its officials. But isn't U.S. foreign policy a worldwide problem when wars are executed? Isn't climate change, for example, a worldwide problem when U.S. gas and oil companies are contributing to it? Think about it. That does it for this week's show. From Mikhail Vitale and entire team, it's goodbye until the next episode.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Imam al-Nas wal-Jinnah, Aliyun hubbu. المسيح المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة المسيح المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the sermons and letters and sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are discussing about the qualities of the pious people based on the sermon number 184 of Nahjul Balagha, famously known as the Sermon of the Pious. According to other versions of collections of the sermons of Imam Ali alayhi salam, they have numbered this particular sermon to be 191 or 192, depending on the collector of this book. We reached this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam brings about a very important quality of those who are pious and says that a pious person is one who لا يدخل في الباطل ولا يخرج من الحق. A pious person is one who doesn't enter into evil or does not enter into something that is wasteful or something that is false. الباطل ولا يخرج من الحق, and does not exit the truth, does not come out of the state of truth. And this is a very important quality. In fact, we are going to discuss here shortly as to what it means that a person remains to be in the path of truth.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this phrase of the sermon, says that one who is pious is one who does not exit the truth. It's as if he is always within the truth. He is always inside the truth. Now, when we say inside the truth, of course, it is somewhat metaphorical in the sense that you have to imagine that the truth is like a compartment, or you can say an area in which a person enters. It like covers that person. That means everything that surrounds him, everything, the way he reacts in different situations is always the truth. لا يخرج من الحق. Now, that actually means that a pious person sets some purpose, sets some goals in life, and also has some principles in life, and also has certain actions that he performs, always maintain that state of truth around him. For some people, when they come across the universe, the way they look at the universe, the way they interact with the universe, is based on whims and without firm principles and without firm understanding. So sometimes you will notice people interpret what happens around the universe in a wrong manner. They do not have the insight to be able to see the divine actions of God. And that means that they have already exited the truth, because they have entered into a realm of whims. As soon as a person lacks that understanding, the true understanding about the universe, and does not have the right outlook towards the events that are occurring around him, and number three, doesn't react in the right manner, that is the time that he exits the truth. I will give you an example. When a person, for example, comes across an area where people are committing sins, right? This particular situation that has come about, even when there are people who are sinful and committing sins around him, and unfortunately he's in a position where he can't leave that place, the moment he has the right reaction and has the right outlook towards this phenomenon, he's inside the truth. So, for example, he knows that all of these entities that are around him are a test for him now. They are things that Allah, with his permission, has allowed this to happen and has allowed me to be inside this situation. And because of this whole situation, Allah is testing me how I will react. Once he has this outlook, he's inside the truth. But this outlook is not enough. After that, he needs to make the right reaction. So if in this situation, he controls himself and rather stops himself from committing those sins, and even then, above that, begins to guide people towards the right path and to stop them from committing wrong, at that moment, he will be within truth. But the moment he gets the wrong outlook, that means when he sees the people around him committing these sins and these crimes, and he ignores it or says that that is their life, and that is I, so then I have my life. This itself is a wrong outlook. Now, unfortunately, he has exited the truth and he has entered the realm of falsehood. And of course, when he after that commits evil crimes and mistakes and follows the path of falsehood, he has entered into the state of falsehood.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
So what is important for a pious person is the right outlook, the right ways to react. And the right ways to react are always following the commandments of God, the Sharia. Because the commandments of God, when you realize it, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute truth, the truth that exists in the universe, that entity upon which everyone depends, everything depends. He gives meaning and value to everything. At that moment, if a person were to adhere to the teachings that are coming from such a God, to the commandments of such a God, of such an entity, they are in the truth. The moment they separate themselves, the moment they disobey, that means they are separating themselves from the truth, they are exiting from that environment of truth, and they are now entering an environment, a whimsical environment that they are creating themselves. They are performing actions, they are not real, they are against his human dimension and are therefore taking him lower and further away from reality. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives us the opportunity to follow the truth and to stick to it and to always remain in that path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Dear brothers and sisters in Iman, Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May this day bring the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. But I would like to highlight two incidences which happened very recently. The first, we saw the violence erupted again when the Israeli forces decided to evict Palestinians from their homes in the occupied East Jerusalem to make room for the Jewish settlements, an act which is illegal under international law. The violence has escalated, resulting in more than 35 people killed, including 9 children among the Palestinians, and many more injured. And this tragedy is still going on. Buildings and homes have been destroyed. Everyone in the East and the West are saying, stand down, become calm, to both sides. But no one is dealing with the main problem, the problem of occupation and the problem of illegal settlements. That is the violence inflicted by the Israelis upon the Muslims. The second case is even more painful for us because it is Muslims inflicting violence over Muslims. The fasting of the month of Ramadan should soften their hearts so that they can relate to the suffering of others and be helpful. Our hearts should become even more softer during the COVID-19 pandemic. But it seems that the so-called Muslims known as ISIS and Taliban become the agents of the shaitan in Ramadan. We are told that shaitan is changed in Ramadan, and this is where his agents become more active in this month, and they seek ways to inflict harm on Muslims, especially in this sacred month. Last year in Ramadan, these terrorists attacked the maternity hospital in Kabul, killing 24 new mothers and their babies. This year again, in the last week of the month of Ramadan, on Saturday, they attacked the school using a car bomb and 2 improvised devices, leaving 80 people dead, mostly girls, and more than 100 injured. In both cases of the last year and this year, the victims belong to the Shia minority in Afghanistan. We condemn any group that targets innocent people in any part of the world and pray that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eliminate the curse of the terrorists as well as the negative impact of the coronavirus.
Philistine, 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 Philistine. Philistine, 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 Philistine. Palestine, Palestine, oh Palestine, on your land Allah plays great signs. Though the world sees your scars and hears your cries, Allah is your God and you will survive.
What is Gaza Strip? It is the biggest prison in this world. Can we be indifferent to what is going on in that part of the world? Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the last public will after the time when he was attacked and before the martyrdom, he addressed his family and his followers. In the preamble of that will, the Imam addresses two sons specifically, where he says to them, to Hassan and Hussein alayhim salatu wasalam, he says, "Kuna lil-zalimi khasman walil-mazlumi awna," that be opponents of the oppressor and be supporters of the oppressed. As Shias of Ali, we must support the oppressed and oppose the oppressor. How do you do it? You can use the standards given to us in the issue of Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf and Al-Nahi al-Munkar, the process of bidding the good and forbidding the evil, where every individual has to look at his or her situation and the ability to make a difference in the situation and then fulfill their duty. It starts with the issue of moral support for the Muslim, for the oppressed. Then it goes on to the issue of the vocal support, or, you know, through the pen and the writings and the protest or the emails and things like that. And so, of course, you have to look at your own environment and within the limits of the law of the land, you have to fulfill your duty. The least that we can do is to understand the conflict in Israel and express your support by the legal means available to you in your country. You know, whether it's supporting the organization that lobby the Canadian government on this issue to be just and fair in a stance on this ongoing conflict. As we see in the statements coming from the United States of America, where it only talks about the security for Israel, but does not even mention anything as far as the security and peace for the Palestinians is concerned, as if the Palestinian people do not exist. President Biden says that Jerusalem should be a place of peace. No arguments over there. But how can you have peace when the rights of the Palestinian inside Jerusalem are being violated? For peace, you must first talk about justice and impose justice. The office of the Grand Ayatollah Sistani issued a statement about this ongoing conflict, and it says, "The religious authority once again confirms its categorical support for the proud Palestinian people in their valiant resistance to the occupiers who seek to occupy more of their lands and displace them from other parts of Al-Quds al-Sharif, and the religious authority calls on the free people to support and aid them in regaining their plundered rights." So heed to his call to support the Palestinian cause in regaining their rights. I end with the last verse of chapter 26, Surah Ash-Shu'ara of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issues the warning to the oppressors by saying, سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Those who act unjustly shall soon know their final place when times finally change. May the Almighty bring that change sooner than later. With the appearance of the Imam of the time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala faraju sharif, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all under protection, be safe, and keep others also safe. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
No mother, no father to wipe away my tears. That's why I will cry. I feel scared.
but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart. I'll never have any doubt the battle is mine. Tomorrow we'll be free. Palestine, tomorrow we'll be free. I saw those rockets and bombs shining in the sky, like drops of rain in the sun's light, taking away everyone dear to my heart, destroying my dreams in a blink of an eye. What happened to our human rights? What happened to the sanctity of life and all those other lies? I know that I'm only a child, but is your conscience still alive? Oh, yeah. I will caress with my bare hands every precious grain of sand, every stone, and every tree. 'Cause no matter what, can never hurt you, 'cause your soul will always be free.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and the speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atan, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Ali Alevian and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome, brother. And brother Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me here.
So on different and various occasions, leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, tackled the issue of the conditions of today's world. And in fact, when we are talking about today's world, we are talking about every corner of this world. And we know that this hegemony that is controlling the world in today's world, especially from the part of the superpowers in the Western countries, is now getting into the Eastern part of the world. Their behaviors, their etiquettes of conducts and everything, their politics, economics, economic system and everything is getting over here in the Eastern world and in the Muslim lands too. That's why the Supreme Leader of Iran, I think, has a kind of, we can say, warning and caution for the Muslim generation and the young generation taking care of the hegemonic powers in the world. That's all right. Unfortunately, this system, Brother Ali, these organizations and all these, you know, human, so-called human right, you know, organizations are getting the world into more materialism, I think, rather than, we can say, spirituality or spiritualism. And this is what we fear, you know. Unfortunately, we could see nowadays some of this materialistic, mundane look at the world in the Muslim lands. The countries that were supposed to be the flag bearer of justice, of spirituality, and of peace all around the world now are exactly copying and imitating the lifestyle of the Western world. You know, you could see it in the Muslim lands today too, isn't it?
Definitely. Before diving into your question, I'd like to refer to some of the points that were discussed by you and dear Sayyid. One, that you said that, is it possible to occupy a land or country in today's world? And Sayyid rightly replied that no. But I want to say, as I explained in the beginning, the format of this occupation has changed.
I know.
So they have occupied the whole world with the cultural attack, and they have to, but the kind of war has changed.
Okay.
Now, actually, they are occupying most of the countries without their own knowledge. I mean, the victim's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one point. And next point, that you said that they do not believe in spirit and soul. We cannot condemn all the Westerners that they have no belief in a spirit and soul. Definitely, as it rightly said, even the followers of the Abrahamic religions, they do believe. But let's define the definition of this soul and spirit that they believe in. Is it what we believe as وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهَا مِنْ رُوحِي? And this is a sort of, let's say, materialization, if it is a good
actualization.
Word. Actualization of the soul of God.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not what they are after, actually. And they believe that they can reach people and they can take people to happiness and reach people to happiness by this materialistic, let's say, attractions. And it is not possible. So we know that happiness cannot actually be obtained by materials only. So we see that the whole path has been taken wrongly. So by materialistic attraction, no one can reach happiness. Happiness and joy and ecstasy comes through your soul, your inside.
That's right.
And it will actually show itself in your face and facial expressions, right?
Okay. You know, the question is that sometimes the people from inside the religious domains also criticize the behaviors of their own leaders, I mean the religious countries. They say that the Western world has inclined towards secularism and separated religion from politics or authority, so they could be at least successful in answering the materialistic questions and queries of their own people and their needs.
Yeah.
But what about us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from both sides, we have nothing. I mean, from
it's
the
religion, like we do not have nothing.
No. I mean, from the religious aspect, they could not reach that kind of spirituality and peace inside, and from the materialistic aspect, they were not prosperous. So what is your answer to this question?
Look, I think the person that in an Islamic environment, if it, such a thing has been said, it's quite wrong sentence, because we have nothing, we have God, we have Allah,
brother,
Allah is everything.
This is what happened in the Arab countries,
actually,
isn't it?
Look.
Yeah, okay. So Said mustn't go on.
I think you know, the main reason is why we have like this much, you know, materialistic thinking. The main reason is if we look at the way of creation, who we are created by.
Mm-hmm.
We are created by God, who is perfect. Yes?
That's
who
right.
Who is unlimited, whose powers are unlimited, who is perfect. When he has created us, he has given us the soul. This soul also have this, you know, these characteristics of getting the perfection.
That's right.
And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, like, I created you so that you can become perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Now, this perfection, the incline towards being perfect is in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When someone without having...
This is in our fitrah.
This is in our fitrah.
And fitrah
innate,
is different
yes.
from tabia.
Yes, it okay. is tabia. Tabia
okay.
is this body, nature.
This is this body, okay.
Innate is okay. related to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this perfection or inclining towards perfection is mm-hmm. inside us.
Okay.
When a person without considering the inside, looking at the material, or maybe he gets the power because he has that inclination towards perfection, he wants to have the perfect power in the world, for example.
Okay.
Similarly, if the person is getting like knowledge in the university, becoming a professor or a scientist, he wants to achieve that perfection in that field. He has that incline towards that. If a person is beautiful, for example, he has a like he's beautiful, he wants the perfection in it. That's why he does not want his face to be, for example, have a pimple, yeah, or like getting harmed. Sometimes, you know, you might have seen
or
like,
acne is on the face.
Yeah,
that's
you might
right.
have seen like many people like who take care of their like
yeah.
Body. Why?
Their
because
skin.
There is something inside them which is yes. perfection, which is taking which asks them like you need to reach to perfection.
Yes.
Now, which perfection? That is the problem. They do not identify. Like,
and which beauty?
Yeah.
Look,
you know, we do not have any skin.
What the brother
okay.
says, he says that, for example, a Muslim say that, look.
Not
Muslim,
only a Muslim, sorry.
Oh.
I'm talking about
generally.
All the religious people, even the followers of Abrahamic religions, okay? So they might criticize the religious circles of their own countries
mm-hmm.
that you are not transferring the religion in the true sense of the world. But from the other side, we could see that these secular movements mm-hmm. are doing their best in order
to
have...
So this is the problem, brother.
Okay.
Look, when you are condemning the followers of their religion, or a person, anyone that who is condemning the followers of their religion, he has to know that if they are really the representatives and right agents of their religion
or
not.
This is my question.
This is the... For example, let's talk about ourselves in Islamic countries.
Okay.
Are the leaders of the Islam world, most of them actually are representing Islam world and Islamic nations?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the problem. They are not representing Islamic world and Islamic nations because their actions, their behavior has nothing to do with Islamic teachings.
This was my point, brother. I'm saying that the behavior of the West is getting more and more infectious.
It has issue because, there are two things generally.
Yes.
Two things. Number one, when someone thinks, like materially, when you separate mm-hmm. the religion from the other sciences,
yes.
that is the first problem
okay.
where it occurs. Politics, I don't know, education, I don't know, medical, or all the sciences are within the religion. That's the first thing.
Okay.
The secular system has come and it has separated it.
That's
number
right.
one. Number two, the issue that we have is that in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the islah or salah or wattaqullah,
mm-hmm.
like be God-weary all the time. If the leader, so-called leader of Muslim Ummah, like
That's
any
right.
country you take, if they become a leader and they are not pious, if
mm-hmm.
they are not God-weary, if they do
okay.
not have fear of Allah, if their intentions are not divine,
That's right.
then these issues do come.
Okay.
Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, has mentioned it. Like, for example, like in one of his speeches when he was talking to the the politicians of his country, like
right.
The Iranian politicians and
yes.
those who were like managing the overall like things in the country, he said, if your intentions are not divine, if you do not be God-weary,
have the pure intentions,
That's if right. you do not think that you are the servants of these people rather than being that's another issue.
Yeah.
Like whatever a politician thinks, like he's the
yeah.
master
servant,
and
that's right.
These who are giving the vote, they are
mm-hmm.
the servants. So if you have this, if you will not have the intention of serving these people, then you cannot take this nation towards perfection,
that's
and you
right.
cannot give them the welfare. On the other side, if in the Western country, those who have material, you can say intentions, if they are working, we have the welfare states, for
yes.
example. Like we can take like the example of like England or Holland or I don't know Canada. These are the
Netherlands.
Netherlands, yes.
Holland.
Holland, Netherlands.
<Okay.
laughs> So these are the countries who are like very much paying intentions towards the
That's right.
The welfare. On top of that, you can see how much tax do they take from the people, number
mm-hmm.
one. Even that is for the government. That government
mm-hmm.
is taking it from the people and giving back to the people.
Okay.
Materially, obviously, they need to do that. They are doing
That's
that
right.
by taking it. But obviously, since they're thinking materially on this issue,
okay.
even if they are giving welfare,
mm-hmm.
for example, in UK, we can see the issue of NHS, like the disaster.
National Health Society. That's right.
So NHS, basically, it has a disaster in previous years. Like, it does not have the budget, or it cannot, like, cope with the things. And now I think in the UK, in some parts, like they're charging like America
mm-hmm.
for people because of this budget issue. So basically, even if they are doing this, they are doing for the sake of themselves. And materially, what they can think of welfare, that's what they're providing.
Okay.
That's but still, the crime is there.
Yeah, the crime is there.
And the crime is increasing day by day.
That's all right.
That's the disaster of material thinking. Why? Because the material world and the material welfare
mm-hmm.
is not training people to become good.
Yes.
Whereas when you have religious or spiritual thing that we are talking, the perfection that
yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us in the Islamic text,
yeah.
it talks about the perfection of human beings.
That's all right.
That you need to do, for example, you need to do infaq, so that you become a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're having the, for example, wealth of the orphans, give them back to them, it is good. Because
That's right.
Allah do not likes oppression. So there is a training part in there. Whereas this material welfare, whatever you think, like even if they give them the whole like land full of gold,
yes.
still the crime is increasing. They cannot decrease.
Yeah, we could see the rate of overconsumption in today's world. Greed for the power and everything, child labor, and racism, these are all the parts of this looking materialistically at the world, because they are recruiting the laborers from the other parts of the world, especially the Easterners, from China, Cuba, here and there, Mexico, Iran, and they migrate over there. They consider the West as a utopia. When they get there, they're paid lower than their own countries. And this, this power for overconsumptions, overeating, we can't say, that's right, over-harvesting the land and everything. They're destroying
the
everything.
The fake need.
The fake need that they're consuming.
Let me add two short points.
We got about 1 minute, brother.
Okay,
less than one minute.
Inshallah. Two short points I want to add here. One is, when you actually delete and omit spirituality from the life of a person, it's as if you have actually omitted and deleted his breathing from a human and a living person. Look, we said earlier that with materialistic look, we cannot actually give life, happiness, and joy to a human being. On the other hand, those who are claiming to be the domination power and the leading, let's say, hegemonic power of the world, those who are leading these societies and they are claiming to be the leaders of the world, they themselves are not righteous persons. Supposedly that they are going to give people happiness by materialistic world and attractions. But who is going to implement it? Those who are not righteous. Look at their states and their behavior, for example, in Muslim countries, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Afghanistan, in different countries. So it seems that they actually have double standards in their actions and behaviors and whatever is being said. All in all, without a spirituality and looking at a spiritual need of human being, we can reach nowhere.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Ali Alevian and Said Mohsen Naqvi, for presence in the program Viewpoints. I'm Atan, the host of this program, and thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. For more information on this program, other programs, visit our website, parstray.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. You can also refer to our Instagram page under Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Fi amanullah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
Aqil Jawadi talks about the various keys of life and has brought about this book to be a companion for the very famous Mafatih al-Jinan, where one is a tool or the keys for paradise, and this book, of course, are the keys of life.
The Keys of Life, a program designed to tell you that what Islam gives you will help get you home with joy and faithfulness. So, well, listen to
The Keys of Life.
The world is a very, very big house, many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up, we must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin. My name is Sheikh Zayd al-Salami. A few years ago, I started the course of wanting to commentate on a very important book that I believe is something that would be useful for everyone who reads it, and that is the book Mafatih al-Hayat, written by Ayatollah al-Uzma al-Sheikh Jawadi Amuli. We've spoken about marriage a few times before, and here, when we're talking about relationships with your kin, with your family members, obviously you are going to have to deal with the topic of your spouse. The first part of this discussion is on how you are able to deal with your wife, and the second part is how to deal with your husband. The hadith from the Holy Prophet says, فَدَارِهَا عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. You need to tolerate mudarat. You need to tolerate and bear with her in any situation, whether it's good, whether it's bad.
فدارها على كل حال وأحسن الصحبة, and be the best company to your wife. This is the haq that a husband has, that a wife has from her husband, and this is what the husband needs to